You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, folks. A whole lot of crazy things are going on. And we'll talk about a little bit of that tonight. We're going to talk about Y2K. Had a conversation with an old friend today on the telephone. He is absolutely convinced that the entire world is going to come crashing down around our ears. Of course, I don't know if it has anything to do with the fact that he sells survival stuff, but I bet it does. Anyway, we're going to talk about that stuff. We're going to take your calls and find out what you think about it, seriously. And if there's anybody out there who works in specific industries who knows what they're talking about their computers where they work, we want to hear from you. Now, don't call in and say, I heard from Joe, who heard from Mary, who has an uncle who works at blah, blah, blah. That we don't need to hear. That's hearsay. That's rumor. That's baloney. And throughout my life, I've always discovered that 99.9% of all of that stuff usually turns out to be false. So we're not going to get into that kind of thing. If you know something about it, we want to hear from you. You. Not your buddy, not your mother, not your aunt, not your uncle, not your preacher, not the local survival guy. You know, I want to hear from you. I want to know what you know. If you know something. And I'm going to give you my 2 cents worth of all of this stuff. Before we get into anything, though, I want to remind you that if you want to see our television project become a success, we still need around $3,000. Remember last week sometime, I told you that we were doing pretty good and we only needed $3,015 more. Well, since then, I think we've received $20, which means we still need $2,995. And we're not going to get it underway until we have it. Now, if you're sitting back there waiting for us to do it all like we have always done, that's not going to work. I've already put in $2,000. $2,000 has been donated to the Television Fund by Harvest Trust. It wasn't me that put it in. It was Harvest Trust that put it in. I don't have any money. I don't make any money. I don't own anything, as a matter of fact. But Harvest Trust donated $2,000. How about that? A lot of good people out there have donated money. Remember when somebody called in and said that if everybody just sent $1, we could clean it up right away? Guess how many people sent $1, folks? Two. Two people out of all of you listening. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. And then you wonder why things don't go your way. Things don't go your way because you're stingy and you're greedy and you don't support your causes. All of the money that we've received for the television fund has come from a handful of people. That's right, folks. Probably not more. Now listen to me carefully. Probably not more than 40 The 45 people out of this entire listening audience has donated all of the money that we have received so far. Doyle donated several hundred dollars. Harvest Trust put in $2,000. A couple of people donated some pretty valuable gold and silver coins, which we sold. You ought to be feeling pretty bad about yourself right about now. You haven't done anything for the cause. Now, those of you who have, I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to Mr. Couch Potato, Big Mouth, Know-It-All, the guy that's going to show up and kick the butts of the New World Order crowd when they start to take over, the guy that's always got an opinion, and gals, not just picking on guys and gals, who's always got an opinion about what everybody else is doing but never does anything themselves. When it comes to supporting their cause, I'm just a poor working stiff and I got bills to pay. Well, so do I. So does Doyle. So does Rick Martin. So does everybody who has donated all of the money that we've received. They do too. Isn't it funny how this works? There are those that do, and those that never do, and those that never do that are always criticizing everybody who does. Which one are you? I wish everybody fit into the category of those who do. It would make my life a lot easier. I wouldn't have to do so much. If some of the rest of you would do even just a little. People call me and say, I had an idea. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And I always stop them in mid-sentence and I say, I get a better idea. Why don't you do it? And then I get dead silence on the telephone and then a little bit of stammering and stuttering and then comes the standard excuse. Oh, I'm just one person and I got a family to feed and I don't know how to do all this stuff. Well, I didn't know how to do any of it either. None of it. I never published a newspaper before, never wrote a book, never had a radio station, never did much research in my life. I was a military man, and I had to learn it. And my brain's no bigger than yours. I'm no smarter than you are, and I'm probably, I don't know, I don't even know what my intelligence rating is. I know that you had to be at least 110 to get into submarines, and I did that. So I've got at least 110, I know that, because I got into submarines. And that's what you had to have, minimum, to get into submarines, whatever that means. But everybody has the same potential. Same opportunities. We all got the same families to feed, and we all got the same no jobs that pay us no money. And we all got no time, and we all don't know nothing. Right? Isn't that right? I'm talking to you, Mr. and Mrs. Couch Potato, the ones sitting on the couch who always listen to all these programs and talk about how much you're doing for the country and how much you're going to do and how they're never going to take your guns away and all that kind of stuff. Let me tell you right now, to your face, bullshit. You never done nothing. You never going to do nothing. You never contributed nothing. You're never going to reap the benefits of nothing. You're sheeple. You see, just listening to this broadcast and other broadcasts does not make you a real people. Does not take you out of the classification of sheeple just because you may have learned something. You see, we have sheep around here. I mean, real sheep. Bah. And every spring, you go up on the mountain, you can watch them being sheared. Have these huge herds run by one lonely little shepherd and his dogs. And I watch those sheep, and some of those sheep know a lot. But they don't do anything. They act like sheep. You can train a sheep. Did you know that? You can teach them a lot of things, but they're still sheep. Bah! They still get sheared in the springtime. And when they get plump and fat and they reach a certain age, they still get sent to the slaughterhouse. And I know that's pretty steep stuff for some of you to, you know, be trying to figure out. But you better figure it out. And you better contribute to this television project. We don't have much time left. We don't have much time left. In fact, you're out of time. This is the year, ladies and gentlemen. This is the year. And they're going to milk Y2K for everything it's worth in order to take your freedom and your liberty away from you and institute their new world order. If you don't believe that, you just stick around. And you just keep doing nothing, and you just keep contributing nothing, and you just keep flapping your jaw.
Thank you.
Send your donation for the television project to the Hour of the Time in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. That's the Hour of the Time in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. Come on, folks, let's get this show on the road. Stop jawing. Start doing. Become a partner in this thing. Everybody says,
dance me to the end of love.
I can't get that low.
Love, love.
This stuff can be a lot of fun. You got to see Pooh and I when we're in here together co-hosting some of these broadcasts. You don't know what's going on when the music's playing. Pooh and I are usually just dancing up a storm, just having a great time. And we do that sometimes just to get wound up to do the broadcast. I don't know how many of you read my book, Behold a Pale Horse. I would assume that at least some of you have. In there, I made a statement. I started to say, for which I was ridiculed and chastised and called a nut, but I was called a nut and ridiculed and chastised for everything that I wrote in that book. A lot of which has come true already. Well, another one has come true. Remember I said that in the book that the New World Order would consider violence or violent tendencies or people who commit violent crimes to be in possession of a specific gene, that the New World Order considered violence to be genetic, and in order to get rid of anybody who has any violent tendencies whatsoever, so that they will ensure their safety from rebellion of the herd. I don't know why they're worried about the herd. The herd never does anything. They don't have to worry about the herd. The smart people who are doers that they have to worry about. Well, I wrote this in my book that was published December of 1990, and I actually wrote this stuff way back in the 80s. Took a long time to get my book published, long time. And if I hadn't included a chapter on UFOs, it probably never would have been published, because that's the only reason the publisher published the book, because she liked the chapter on UFOs. She didn't care about anything else in the book. But it got published. That's the important thing. But I wrote in that book that the New World Order, the utopian socialists consider violent tendencies to be genetic, and that they would identify people who have these violent tendencies, and they would collect their genealogies, and sometime in the future, all of these people are just going to be wiped out right off the face of the earth. And that they would be collecting genetic samples and genealogies. Well, everybody said, you're nuts. They're never going to do this. Well, I wasn't nuts, and I'm not nuts. What I said was absolutely correct. It's true. And they've never had to collect genealogies because the Mormon Church has been doing it for them. Now, the Mormon Church does not know that they're doing it for them, but they are. And all of these genealogy databases are open to the public. And believe me, the New World Order crowd has just sucked it up. See, they don't have to put up money and do it because the Mormon Church is doing it for them, and all they have to do is access the records. which is open for anybody to access. And if they weren't, all they have to do is on a certain day just go in and seize them. And I'm sure they'll do that also. And so they'll know entire genealogies of people through centuries of time, because the Mormon Church has been compiling these family databases. And not just of Mormons, of everybody. Everybody. Now think about that. Why is the Mormon Church collecting genealogies on everybody? Well, they are. And I'm sure that they believe they have a good reason. And I'm sure they have no idea what these databases of genealogies are ultimately going to be used for, but I can tell you right now, they're not going to be happy when they find out. Did you know that the government has been taking genetic samples, gene samples, tissue samples of convicted murderers and sex offenders for a long, long time? Even ones who are in prison forever and can't possibly get out? Did you know that now Janet Reno wants to collect genetic samples, tissue samples, from every person who is ever arrested, whether they are convicted or not? And most people who are arrested are never convicted of anything. And probably most of those are innocent and didn't commit any crime to begin with. This is just the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. You can look for a law sometime in the future that will mandate that doctors take tissue samples and turn them in to these genetic databases on anybody who has any kind of contagious disease. And they'll say that the reason is to find out if there is a predisposition to contagious diseases, and they want to have this on database so that they can know what segment of the population is going to be infected by swine flu in the year 2020, etc., etc., etc. You watch. It's going to happen. Just like what I wrote my book years and years and years ago and I've been warning you about is happening right now. They're going to be collecting genetic samples, tissue samples. It's where it's going to begin. Well, it already started. They're doing it in the military. Every single military person who belongs to any branch of the United States military service has to give genetic samples to the government. They've been doing it with sex offenders and convicted murderers and people like that for a long time. Now they're going to be taking genetic samples, tissue samples, from every person who's arrested, no matter what the reason for the arrest is, no matter whether you're ever convicted of anything or not, and it's not going to be a choice, they say. And once they identify violent people and they have their genetic samples, and then they obtain the genealogies from the Mormon Church, they can track down entire hereditary gene lines and do with them what they will at some future date. And don't sit there and shake your head no. People who have a tendency to say that I don't know what I'm talking about usually end up eating their own words. No salt, no pepper, no sauce. They don't taste very good. Because I don't say things lightly. I've been studying these people for more years than I even care to imagine. I know more about them than anybody on this earth outside of their own body politic. And that's not an exaggeration. If you don't believe that, come and sit down with me sometime. We'll find out who knows what. We've run out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody's been saying, well,
we don't have to worry about it now. We still got a few years before anything happens.
Bah. Bah. Oh, bah. Bah, 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 bah. That is famous last words, maybe? Listen to me carefully. We've run out of time. This is it, this year. This is it, this year. There is no more time. You don't have any more time. And all of you who are running around promoting all this panic and hysteria over Y2K, you're helping destroy yourself and your family and everybody you love and this country, freedom, liberty, everything good that's ever existed. You are helping to destroy it. And I'm going to go a little step. A lot of you are bold-faced liars in what you're saying to stir up this hysteria and this panic. Welcome to the war, folks. War has been raging for quite some time. Most of you never even knew there was a war until recently. Not too long ago, some of you began to wake up. And more are waking up all the time, but it's not enough. Not even beginning to be enough. Y2K. Y2K. I wonder if any of you went to the Y2K thing down in Phoenix. I was reading the... Let me find it. Let me get it. Let me put this music back on. Let me get that. I want to talk about that.
There is a war between the rich and the poor, a war between the man and the man.
Oh, yeah. There's a war. let me go over this a little bit. They mailed out these real fancy, really expensive, and I mean really expensive flyers. They're not two-color, three-color, or six-color. They're color, every color you can imagine on one side. And I never heard of a lot of these people. I know Craig Smith, and I know why he was there. He's the founder of Y2K Net, which is a network of people disseminating information about Y2K. He happens to believe, like I believe, or at least that's what he tells me when he's talking to me, he happens to believe, like I believe, that the hysteria and panic that will be caused by Y2K are the danger. There's really no danger from Y2K. If you prepare yourself properly, and you're prepared to do without some functions for a while, if you have to do without them, there's no reason to panic. There's no reason to become hysterical. The world's not going to fall apart. Eventually, the problems will be fixed. They will be fixed. And you're not going to die because of it. Whether Y2K ever reared its ugly head or not, I was telling you years ago that responsible people are ready for any possible emergency. And I told you what my guidelines were: 2 years supply of food and water at all times. Extra warm clothing, shoes and socks that you don't wear, that you save for a time when you may not have any shoes and socks to wear. You may not have any clothing to wear. That at least a portion of the money that you make should be used to purchase things that you can use to barter in case the economy fails. And if people panic and go out of their minds over this Y2K thing and have a run on banks, that's exactly what's going to happen. So why wait until somebody comes up and says, Y2K, every computer in the world is going to stop and the world is going to come crashing down around Earth? Why did everybody wait until then to start figuring out that they should be prepared for some kind of an emergency? Why does it have to be Y2K? What if all of a sudden a tremendous storm hit your area and tornadoes ripped through your town and destroyed everything everywhere? And you know, you had no stash of anything. You had no storm cellar full of goodies that you could fall back on. You see what happened to people in Florida when that hurricane hit down there? They were paying $50. $50 for a gallon of water. Some of them, I'm sure, paid $100 for a gallon of water. And who knows what else they were paying big money for, if they had the money to pay it. You see, they didn't take care of business. This is not Disneyland, folks. And the ride just doesn't keep going on forever. And it doesn't have to be man-made emergencies. It can be anything. You know, God is out there somewhere, and He sort of rules nature. And every once in a while, He likes to stir the pot up. Floods and volcanoes and earthquakes and terrible storms and hurricanes and typhoons and tornadoes are apt to make everything disintegrate around you. Why aren't you prepared? You see, it makes me crazy when I see these things happen and I watch on TV the terrible fate of these people who are at the mercy of the government and their neighbors and looters and con artists and people who charge $50 and $100 for a gallon of water. And then there's the Red Cross. How many of you know the truth about the Red Cross? They don't give you anything. All this money you donate to the Red Cross, I don't know where it goes, but it does not go to help people in trouble. The Red Cross is a huge business. And whatever they give you when an emergency happens, you're going to get a bill for later. They charge you for it. Did you know that? And they will hound you for years until you pay it back. Did you know that? The only one that I know of, the only organization that I know of, where almost every penny that you give to them goes to help people is the Salvation Army. And they never ask for anything back. When they go to help people, whatever they give people as help, they give. They give. The Red Cross doesn't let you know those things. And so you give to the Red Cross and the Red Cross gets rich. And they pay people like Mrs. Dole, Mrs. Bob Dole, hundreds of thousands of dollars to head their organization. They have executives that get paid just as much as executives that work for Exxon. Did you know that? Most of you don't know these things, but it's the truth. Did you know the Red Cross charges for blood? Did you know that? It's true. They don't tell you that. They tell you go down, donate your blood to the Red Cross. The Red Cross takes the blood that you donated to them for free, and when they give it to people, they charge for it. It's billed. Oh, woe, oh, woe is me and my sheepledom. Wake up. Now comes Y2K. All of a sudden, the world is going to end. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. The world is ending. The water is going to stop running through the water pipes, and you're going to turn on your faucet in the year 2000 and there won't be any water. Maybe you've heard that. You're not going to have any food. There's not going to be any food in the grocery stores because all the trucks are going to stop running. And the trains are going to stop. And the airplanes are going to fall out of the sky. And the electricity plants are all going to shut down. And the banks won't know how much anybody owes, and they won't be able to compute interest or loans, and they won't know how much money you have on account, and blah, 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 bullshit. I'm sure there will be some disruptions of things. Oh, I'm sure of that. I'm sure that some people will be inconvenienced. But I have yet to figure out how some of these things are going to happen. How in the world is the water going to stop running through the pipes? Because the date changed. And if the valves that control the water at the dam and at the water plants all over the country are computer controlled, why not turn off the computer and open the valve? Gee. I guess nobody ever thought of that. You think that's possible? You think somebody could actually open the valve without a computer telling them to? Or without a computer controlling the valve? You think that could happen? You think that power plants and sections of the country could disconnect themselves from the power grid so that a power failure caused by a computer in another place doesn't affect their portion of the country? Do you think that could happen? Of course it could happen. If people quit running around, yelling and screaming, "Why is the gate? Sky is falling!" and figured out a way to do it. And why can't a power plant function without a computer? Why can't you turn the computer off and throw a switch? or maybe three or four switches, or five or six, or hire some more people to come in and help. Instead of having it turn into a catastrophe, it could be a big boon to the nation. I mean, it could put a lot of people to work solving these problems and making sure that people got water and power and making sure that the trains ran. Why couldn't they station people along the tracks with radios so that when these computers fail, they could just radio the guy and say, put up a red flag so to stop the eastbound because the westbound has got to use that track and the eastbound needs to pull off on a siding. Why can't people do that? They did it in the 1800s. Why can't they do it today? The answer, ladies and gentlemen, is they can do it today, and people will do whatever is necessary whenever any kind of catastrophe occurs in order to solve the problems and make things work. Americans have always done that. Americans always will do that, and nothing is going to change because Y2K. The sky is falling. Y2K, the sky is falling. This thing in Phoenix costs a lot of money. This is an expensive flyer they mailed to almost everybody in Arizona. Y2K summit and town hall meeting, thinking globally, preparing locally. I don't know about you folks, but I don't give a damn about what happens in Peking because of Y2K. That's their problem. So right off the bat, when you scratch me, I'm not thinking globally. I'm thinking about the state of Arizona and the United States of America. Now listen to who was there. The special guest, which they bill as the Millennium Spoke Singer. The Millennium Spoke Singer. You see how they put the hysteria into everything? The Millennium Spoke Singer? Why does it have to be Millennium? What happens when the Millennium ticks over? Folks, I got news for you. The Millennium is no big deal. Remember when you turned 21, it was supposed to be some kind of magic day, and you found out it was just the same as the day before? Well, same with this Millennium. According to Bill Clinton, we have to build a bridge to the 21st century. No, we don't. All we have to do is wake up that morning. That's all we have to do is wake up that morning, and we're there. We're there. How about that? Millennium is not a wall that we have to climb. We don't have to find some hidden door. The world is not going to come to an end because the clock ticks over to another day. And if the problem is the date ticking over into the year 2000 and computers can't recognize that, what's wrong with doing this until you figure out how to fix all the computers?
Set the clock back. Set the clock back 100 years.
And everybody will know that 1900 is the year 2000. And they'll be able to compute interest. They'll be able to figure out bank accounts. Everything. We'll keep right on working. But no, there must be hysteria. There must be panic, and the sky must fall.
Because Y2K.
How many of you have heard of the 555 chip? The 555 chip. The 555 chip. The 555 chip that is a... To listen to the... Millennium Y2K liars tell you are embedded clock chips on motherboards and in computers everywhere. And you can't upgrade them, and nobody knows where they are, how many there are, and you can't fix them, and you can't reprogram them, and when the date turns over, they're all going to stop working. How many of you have heard that lie? How many of you know what a 555 chip is? It's not a clock chip at all. Doesn't recognize a date. Doesn't care if it's the year 1000, 2000, 3000, 44,000, or 1922. And it's not a clock chip. It's like a metronome. It just provides a steady beat. That's what a 555 chip does. And I could go on and on and on and on, but guess who the Millennium Spokesinger was at the Phoenix Y2K Summit and Town Hall meeting? None other than Pat Boone. Pat Boone. Do you think Pat Boone shows up at Y2K Summit and Town Hall meetings for nothing? How much do you think they had to pay to get Pat Boone to go there and be the Millennium Spokesinger? Which really turns out to be the Y2K Town Hall Master of Ceremonies. Who spent all this money for these flyers? And they say free admission. Free admission. Now, folks, I don't know how they got you to pay for all of this, but I know that nothing is free. Somebody printed up all of these things. Somebody paid Pat Boone a lot of money to come there and talk and be the MC. A lot of money. These flyers and the postage to send them out costs a lot of money. It was advertised on radio and TV. That costs a lot of money. And nobody did this. Nobody did this because they feel sorry for you and they want to help you get through Y2K. They did it to make money. I don't know how they made the money if admission was free, but I guarantee you a lot of money was made at the Phoenix Y2K Summit and Town Hall meeting. Some of you may have attended. Some of the other people who were there. I don't know anybody, any of these people except for Craig Smith. Tony Keyes was there. Rick Cowles was there. Karen Anderson, Tim Wilson, Ken Klein. And all except for Tony Keyes and Craig Smith, they're all wearing very expensive clothing. Now, according to this, Tony Keyes talked about Y2K interconnectedness around the world in 60 minutes. Screw the world. I'm interested in Arizona and the United States of America. I don't care what happens in the rest of the world. Those people are responsible to take care of their problems and their business, and we're responsible to take care of ours. Who cares? Unless you're into this interdependence thing, and you think that's just hunky-dory, that's wonderful, and we need to be globally dependent upon each other and all this other kind of stuff. Actually, I was kind of hoping that Y2K would sort of end all of that. So we'd go back to being Americans in America. Electricity, the Y2K linchpin. That's Rick Cowell's subject. Protecting your assets, Craig Smith. And by the way, he gives pretty good talks about that. And that's one of the things I heartily recommend that you do. The Y2K proof family, Karen Anderson. I don't know how she talked about that or what she said about the Y2K proof family. You see, if you're a responsible family, if you're responsible people, you're not Y2K proof. You're anything proof. You're prepared for anything. Why do you have to wait for Y2K and then go down and listen to somebody else tell you what you need to do? You should already know what you need to do. In case certain things fail to function, or in case of rioting, or storm, or flood, or volcano, or earthquake, or any of the other things that could possibly happen. War. Revolution. Restoration. Race riots. Do you think those people in Los Angeles were prepared for race riots? The only ones that I saw were the Koreans, who put on their armored vests, took their weapons out, and stood on top of, in front of, and back of, and on the sides of their businesses, and shot anybody who tried to hurt him. They were prepared. Nobody else was. Nobody else was. And the people who participated in the rioting couldn't figure out why no trucks were bringing food into the riot area so that they could go to their local Safeway store and buy food with their welfare stamps. They couldn't figure that out. So, you know what they were going to do? When the stores ran out of foods, they were going to beat up and kill the store managers. Oh, these are smart sheeple. Oh, these are so intelligent. Oh, my goodness. Tim Wilson talked about community action and the media. I don't know why anybody would include the media in something like this. The media never tells us the truth about anything. They're helping to whip up the hysteria and the panic. Ken Klein, a call for spiritual leadership. Well, I could go for a few more of those kinds of lectures. Whether or not there's any Y2K, there's a great spiritual vacuum in this country. Craig Smith, Y2K CPR, 12 Steps of Family Preparation. And where do we go from here? An overview of Greater Phoenix's Y2K readiness and contingency planning. Somebody made a lot of money off of this. I don't know who. I don't know how. But they did. If it was done responsibly, and I was not there, I don't know if it was or not. Maybe some of you were, and you can call in and comment on it. If they were responsible, then their job was to stop hysteria, stop panic, help people understand what kind of preparedness they should be engaging in, not for just Y2K. See, Y2K should not be the subject. The subject should be, how do you prepare as a responsible person or a responsible family to make sure that you and your children do not suffer in any kind of a catastrophe? And if these are responsible people, I know Craig is, I don't know anybody else that was there. Amongst the speakers, that is, except for Pat Boone, and the only thing I know about him is he cost a lot of money. And he sings pretty good. So I wonder if they did that. I wonder if they just really whipped everybody up into, this is the most disastrous thing that's ever going to happen, and no way you're going to survive, and you've got to spend all this money to do this, this, and this, and if you don't, you're down the tubes, and blah, 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 blah. Or if they really helped these people who attended this. Like I said, I don't know. What bothers me about it is the amount of money that was spent to produce it. And nobody does that unless they're going to make money. Nobody. Now, I know how Craig can make some money out of that. Craig probably sold some gold and silver coins, which, if nobody had any, I recommend that they get from whatever source they want to get them from, whether it's from Swiss America Trading, which Craig is the head of, or somebody else, or if they just get them by trading with people, I don't care. And it doesn't have to be gold and silver coin. It can be things that are going to have value in an emergency. What kind of a value do you think somebody who's addicted to coffee would put on a pound of coffee? Guarantee you, coffee will be valuable. Guarantee you that women will hold a high value, put a high value on Tampax. Health things like toothpaste, toothbrushes are going to be valuable. Somebody who's addicted to chocolate can't do without chocolate. We'll just about sell their soul for a Hershey bar. Of course, you don't want to charge them that much. But these are things that you can use to get you through an emergency, that you can barter with. You can use in place of money when you don't have any. And when money doesn't work. And if they continue to whip everybody up into hysteria and panic over Y2K, there's going to be a run on the banks and the economy is going to come crashing down because there is no cash in the banks. Now, if you don't believe me, there's a real simple experiment that you can engage in. Call your local bank. Tell them you're coming down in 15 minutes. You want to withdraw $10,000 in cash. Boy, you want to hear somebody really get nervous? They'll tell you you can't. And wait till you hear the reason. They'll tell you they can't because they don't have it. And if they give you $10,000, they won't be able to transact normal business for the rest of the day. That's what they're going to tell you. I know, I've done it in lots of banks. This is a debt-based economy, ladies and gentlemen. Debt-based. Built around a reserve banking system. What they don't tell you is that the reserve is fake. It's phony. There is nothing in reserve. You know how they create reserve? You walk into a bank that has $10,000 in assets, they say. Really, it's all just bookkeeping entries. There are no assets. Unless they've repossessed a house lately. The assets are the bookkeeping entries that reflect what you all believe is in your accounts. You see? And so, if they want to expand the net worth of the bank, they get people to come in and borrow money. You walk in and borrow $10,000. Well, the bank is not going to give you their whole amount of money on deposit, the $10,000 they have as their assets. They're not going to give that to you. You know what they do? They make a bookkeeping entry that they loaned you $10,000 and they write you a check for $10,000 or they credit your account. But you don't get $10,000 in cash. It didn't exist. Now guess what? The bank looks at that and 5 minutes before they only had $10,000 in assets. Guess how many assets they have now? They now have $20,000 in assets. Because that money they loaned you and entered as a bookkeeping entry now becomes something you have to pay back. That's right, folks. That's how money is created in this country. That's how it's put into circulation. Now, the Federal Reserve knows that there's a potential for tremendous problems with this Y2K thing if people think the banks can't take care of their money properly and there's a run on the bank. The federal government has already prepared. The Federal Reserve has already prepared. They've already printed $50 billion. That's billion with a B. That's that number that none of you can count up to. $50 billion. Which they will flood into the banks in the latter quarter of this year, hopefully to keep the banks from having to close their doors should there be a Y2K run on the banks. But I'm here to tell you that it won't work because $50 billion is not even a scratch on the surface if that run occurs. You're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. Now, folks, I know you don't think so, but I'm telling you right now, you have all been sleepwalking for many years. You've been walking in your sleep. Now, here, I'm going to tell you the truth right now. You're not going to like it, but that's all you ever get from me on this broadcast. Most of you don't know your ass from a hole in the ground, and that's the truth. And what's more, most of you know it. Santo and Johnny, Sleepwalk. That's from my high school days. Tell you a little bit about how old I am. Yeah, most of you folks are not tying the load on your donkey or shoveling it into a hole. Don't you know that? What in the world can I do to wake you up and get you pointed in the right direction? It's hard. I can tell you that it's hard. It's hard to wake you up. It's hard to get you to listen to anything. But the hardest thing of all is to get you to do something. You seem to think that it's okay. That if you just ignore it, it'll go away. Or, we have plenty of time. We don't have to do anything yet. Right?
Oh, it can't happen in America.
Well, it is. It is, it has, and it will. You can take that to the bank. For sure you can take that to the bank. Now, let me give you some good advice that you're not hearing from anywhere else. You're not hearing from anyone else. All responsible people should be prepared for any kind of emergency. Should be prepared for any kind of breakdown. Should be prepared to lose your water supply. Should be prepared to function in an economy that has failed. Should be prepared to have alternate forms of transportation, etc., etc., etc. Responsible people will prepare for tornadoes, for invasions, for war, for the sky is falling, for there's no more water, for there's no food in the Safeway because the trucks went on strike, or whatever it happens to be for Y2K. And whatever happens, ladies and gentlemen, it will not ever be the end of the world. Not now, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. Nothing is going to be the end of the world. Including all of you people running around in your churches talking about the end of the world. The end times. I suggest you go back and read your Bible again. How can it be the end times? How can it be the end of the world? When every Bible that I've ever read, says that it won't. It will be the beginning, if you believe it. If you're a Christian, you believe it. Of a new government ruled by your Savior for 1,000 years, after which time the devil will be let loose for a time and time again, and then he will be chained and thrown into the pit forever, and it still won't be the end. Read your Bibles. I'm so sick and tired of hearing people talk about the end of the world. It's not going to happen. The sky is not going to fall because of Y2K. It will not be the end of the world. So what if the trains stop running for 5 days? So what if they stop running for 5 months? So what if your power plant won't put out electricity for 6 or 7 days or 2 weeks or 2 months? Are 6 months. So what? Are you telling me in a nation of people who built the greatest nation on the face of this earth when there was no electricity and there were no trains? Can't survive such a thing until the problem's fixed. Are you telling me that, really? If you are and you believe it, you're a fool. See, if you're properly prepared, you can subsist independently from any services whatsoever. And if you had prepared years ago, like I told you to do, and if you want me to, I'll dig out those broadcasts and play them for you. If you had done it, you could exist independent of any services from anybody, whomsoever, from any government, from any municipalities, whatsoever, for 2 years. I told you how to do it. I told you what you needed. And I told you that it wasn't for any specific thing. It was for anything that comes along.
And if you couldn't afford 2 years?
What's the matter with being responsible for a year?
And if you couldn't afford a year?
Why couldn't you save and scrimp and put aside a little bit each month over a period of time so that you could
survive for 6 months?
If not 6 months, how about three? How many of you couldn't survive for a week?
Most of you, unfortunately. And you all know it.
It doesn't matter what stops. It doesn't matter if the banks have to close their doors until they get their computers straightened out and get it all, you know, fixed up so that once again you can pay your bills. Do you honestly believe your landlord is going to come and kick you out if you don't pay your rent during that time? No, he's not. You know why? Because he's going to be in the same boat. And if he kicks everybody out, when they get it all fixed again, he won't have any money. But no, everybody's being worked up into a great hysteria and a big panic. Here's the real danger of Y2K. Panic. People who were not responsible and did not prepare for emergencies will run out of food and come next door to kill you. They will start looting and robbing. And yeah, there'll probably be some killing. And all of you folks that have money, whether you prepared or not, you're going to run down to your bank and demand that they give you all your money in cash. And the bank's going to have to close their doors. And then everybody's going to know that this is a fake, phony, fraud economy. And you're all going to know that those Federal Reserve notes in your pocket aren't worth the paper they're printed on. Reserve of what? You know what a reserve is supposed to be? It's supposed to be something of value upon which the money value is based. Are the script, or the Federal Reserve notes, or the silver certificates, or whatever you want to call it. But you're all supposed to know this, aren't you? Of course you are. Why do I have to tell you? Well, it's because of this, folks. You see, this is what it's all about. This is what it's really all about. And you just don't get it yet, do you?
square. It's coming from the fields, but this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
B.I. Lenin, ladies and gentlemen, said, democracy is indispensable to socialism. Karl Marx said, the end goal of socialism is communism. Crack in the wall he's talking about, folks, that's you. That's you. If it gets in, it's because you're the crack that let it in. Don't you know that? The Constitution for the United States of America, Article 4, Section 4, guarantees to every state a republican form of government. The Founding Fathers created a constitutional republic, not a democracy. Phones are open. What do you have to say about all of this? What do you think about this Y2K thing? I'm telling you right now, this is the year that was. It won't be because of Y2K. It'll be because of the panic stirred up by the hysteria mongers, the end of the worlders, the doomsayers, the sky is falling chicken littlers. What do you think? 520-333-4578. And if you disagree, call in, be polite, and argue your point intelligently, and maybe you can change my mind. 520-333-4578. Was anybody at Phoenix, the Y2K Summit and Town Hall meeting? I'd like to know how that went off. What was it all about? What happened? How did they make their money? I know they made some money. Pat Boone was the MC. You know, a few minutes ago, the phone was ringing off the hook, but I hadn't opened the phones yet. And now it's not ringing at all. I must have scared somebody. Did I scare you? 520-333-4578 is the number. Let's hear from you. Hear what you've got to say about all of this. What do you think about it? Are you prepared? If you work for any of these functions and services and power plants and water companies and all of that kind of stuff, call in and tell us what's going to happen to your computers and how are you going to deal with it. I'm really interested to learn those things. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. How you doing? doing?
Good.
It's Dan from Indiana.
Hi, Dan.
I was just curious since you mentioned Pat Boone. Did you know that he's always been, kind of swift at finding ways to make money?
Absolutely. He's a multimillionaire.
Yeah, did you know that when the Beatles first broke in America, he was the one who bought the rights to them? So that everybody who had, like, a Beatles lunchbox or a thermos bottle or something, he was making money off that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was pretty into all that. And as far as what you were saying about if you tried to take more than $10,000 out of the banks, here in Indiana, I've gotten into a new line of work, and I sell cars. And about a year and a half ago, I sold a car, and it was some folks that paid for it in cash. It was like $12,000.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was...
You have no idea what kind of trouble they started when they did that. maybe you do, if you're the one that sold it to them.
Well, Bill, they surely did cause a lot of trouble. About 4 days ago, the IRS was at my job because they had finally gotten a hold of these records. And these were just an old couple, and it's like I personally got the impression that they had pulled it out from under the mattress, that they just saved it all there. And they came in and put maybe a $3,000 deposit and brought the other $9,000 in the next day. But I was new to the business, and none of my managers caught this. And
drug dealer.
Yeah.
Drug dealer.
But
no, nobody's allowed to have money.
They were threatening to fine the dealership $25,000, and I can only imagine that they're going after the actual couple right now that did this.
Oh, I'm sure they are. And it's all unconstitutional. It's all unlawful. It's all illegal. It's crap. It's Gestapo. It's KGB. It's Soviet Union stuff.
And it becomes a thing of guilty until proven innocent. As far as if you're stopped, I don't know if it was on your show or someplace else. I had heard that people that work like at airlines, they have instructions that if somebody buys a ticket and they pay cash and they obviously have a big wad of cash, that they're supposed to call somebody from security in the airport.
They'll go and get you and pull you in a room and grill you for hours, and they'll take all your money.
And challenge you to prove where you got it from, and if you can't demonstrate to them. With good cause, well, then you got it. It's still gotten good from drugs or whatever, so we're taking it, and when you can show where it came from, you can have it back.
Yeah.
And take your actual money.
That's what Adolf Hitler did.
Yeah.
That's what Joseph Stalin did.
It's a wonderful system, isn't it?
That's the United States of America, spelled A-M-E-R-I-K-A. A comrade?
Yeah, with a K at the end.
Yes. But you know the real reason why they're doing all that?
Well, everything is control.
Well, number one, it criminalizes everybody. And number two, it makes sure that the debt-based system works. Nobody saves cash. Nobody has cash. Every time you make a transaction, it has to contribute to the debt-based economy by creating more debt.
You're enslaved, and also as far as things being done by credit, they know everything you buy, and they can pretty much, even without ever looking at you physically, they have a pretty good profile on you. But they see the places you eat, how often you eat out, what kind of products you buy. Do you buy Hustler magazine or do you buy Christian CDs, whatever? But they can pretty much peg who and what you are.
Absolutely, but you have to understand. You're only a slave to this kind of system if you're married to material possessions. Do you understand what that means? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
As long as you feel the need to coexist with them in their system, yeah.
I have no need to do that. And I'm not married to material possessions. I can walk away from every single thing there is. In a moment, never look back. As long as I still have my freedom, I will be a happy, happy man. Even if I'm walking into a snowstorm at 50 below with nothing but a short sleeve shirt on.
Well, there's no doubt that that's true. It's like as I went through life, I recognized attachment like that and just felt how much nicer it would be if I wasn't attached to whatever, my stereo or records or my couch or whatever. And I just said, well, I'm leaving and I'm packing up and I'm going to Peoria. And just leave,
You know where I learned that?
You know where I learned to have that kind of peace of mind?
I would guess in the service.
No, by reading the red words in the Bible. Jesus taught me that. Read the red words of the Bible, he'll teach you that. You cannot be spiritually rich if you are materially rich. If you're married to material things, you cannot have spiritual peace. Cannot. Will not. Remember he said the chances of a rich man getting into heaven are about the same as a camel walking through the eye of a needle? It's true. What did he tell his disciples to do? Go and sell everything you have and follow me.
Yeah.
Buy yourself a sword and follow me. Don't forget that. Buy yourself a sword and follow me.
Well, I'll tell you, Bill, I come from New Jersey, and I'll just tell you a short story. I was kind of got a kick of people being, no pun intended, up in arms about the five-day waiting period.
Uh-huh.
In New Jersey, when we first decided to get a gun after the L.A. riots, went to a gun store. He said, you know, what do I need? And he pulled a shotgun off the wall. He said, well, this is why you need it. You know, and he clicked it, and you hear the noise. And he said, it's what you need because everybody knows this sound. Once they hear it, chances are you might not even have to use it. But anyhow, we started the process. And it was a full 6 months to the day that we started the process before we had the shotgun in our hand. Once we had the shotgun, then we were allowed to buy handguns. And from the day we started the process of getting a handgun, it was a full 3 months before I had a handgun in my hand.
Where do you live?
Well, not now. This was in New Jersey.
Oh, that was in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's one of those... New Jersey is very famous for being left-wing extremist socialist power base.
But it was just kind of funny because here in Indiana, I mean, I could just walk into a pawn shop or something and walk out with a long gun, you know, just like that. And the idea of the five-day waiting period, I mean, from where I came from in New Jersey, that looked great to me.
All I got to do is go out and tell four people what I need, and within a couple of days, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what it is. Now, you could probably do that where you're at, too.
Sure.
You can do it anywhere, as a matter of fact. Where do they think crooks get their guns?
Did they really think
a guy wants to rob a bank, he's going to go down and fill out the paperwork and wait for the waiting period and all that kind of stuff before he go rob a bank?
Well, that's the ludicrous part behind gun control, because gun control is just going to take folks away that have it legally. I would guess probably 1 or 2% of them are using them in some way that will eventually found if you're wrong, whereas, 98% of the people that are doing wrong things, they don't have legal guns in the first place, so it's kind of ridiculous.
Of course not. But you listen to these these no-brain, airhead, goody-goody, two-shoes, left-wing socialist twits, and I tell you what, they'll drive you up a telephone pole with their stupidity. I'm not kidding. It's just absolutely like they have not one brain cell in their head at all. It's incredible. And probably, maybe the reason they don't is they don't believe in God. God gave us brains to use. And I can see where if you didn't believe in God, you wouldn't have much of a brain and you wouldn't know how to use what you had.
Well, I've always found it curious that that people or organizations believe in God when it's convenient. For example, an insurance company suddenly believes in God when it's to their advantage. They don't have to pay off because they don't pay off for acts of God.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
It was an earthquake and the ground split in two and my house was swallowed up. And they, well, that's an act of God, so we're not paying that. And so it's convenient at that point.
I wonder why somebody doesn't challenge him. Because they don't believe in God. And if you can prove they don't believe in God, then they cannot refuse to pay you because of an act of God.
Yeah,
somebody ought to take them to court on that.
Yeah, good point.
I tend to think that way, you see. Well, let's see who else we can get in here.
Okay, it was good talking to you, Bill.
Thanks a lot for calling.
Sure.
520-333-4578 is the number. What do you think about all this? Where do you stand on these issues? Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill, this is Virgil outside of Macon, Georgia. How are you doing?
Good.
UK stuff. Old COBOL programmer from there.
Can you talk louder, Virgil, please?
But yeah, I'm an old COBOL programmer from the early 1970s.
Uh-huh.
And we solved that back in about 1973.
That's what I figured.
And I don't know what this all this hullabaloo is about the Y2K. The panic and the disinformation and the lies coming out of the government's the biggest thing.
I think it's intentionally engineered to cause a panic and hysteria so that they can declare martial law, send these black helicopters and these special forces troops to round up the enemies of socialism and establish peace. Remember, Lenin's and Marx's definition of peace is the elimination of all opposition to socialism, and then they'll be able to establish their new world socialist utopian order. Yeah.
Yeah, and hey, I agree with that. Anyway, I just want you to know there's one fellow out there that knows it was solved a long time ago.
Well, you know, every time I talk to somebody who really is a programmer, really is involved with computers, and really knows something about this, they say the same thing that you just said.
Well, just further confirmation, Bill.
Thank you.
Hey, keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. 520-333-4578 is the number. Sure, everybody should be prepared. But it's not going to be the end of the world, no matter what happens. The sky is not going to fall. No, you're not all going to die because some computer stopped somewhere. Or even if they all stopped. You know what we would do? We would adapt to a new and most probably better way of life. To tell you the truth. Now, why should you care? You know, if you really want to know the truth, if you really want to hear something that might stir some people up, what do you care if the bank can't figure out how much you owe them when they're dealing with a bunch of baloney, phony money in the first place, and the truth is you can't pay a debt with a debt? Why should you care? You should be hoping that they all stop, because most of you are in hock up to your eyeballs. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Dale.
Hello, Blair.
I also have talked to a person who is a computer programmer, and he reiterated the fact that Y2K is a bunch of garbage. It is going to be a little glitch, and that's it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's what they tell me, too. Every time I talk to one, they tell me the same thing. Yeah, some parts of the country may not have any hard times at all. Some other parts might suffer a few inconveniences, and some parts of the country might have a shutdown of a lot of services, but so what?
Yeah. One thing, as far as getting hold of senators and House members, are we doing any good, or are we just totally wasting our...
Totally wasting your time. Absolutely wasting your time does no good whatsoever to do anything with these people. They will lie to you. They will promise you the world, especially around election time when they want to get reelected. They'll tell you they're going to solve all your problems and take care of everything, and they won't do a thing. You know what? You know what? Our senator here in Arizona, when he found out about the problem that Annie and I have with the government, he wanted to help us. Okay. So he was going to help us, and guess what we got in the mail?
I would hate to imagine.
A request for $1,000 donation, and when we didn't send it, we got no help.
I wonder why.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, if we had sent it, we still wouldn't have got any help.
It must not have been green enough for him.
Well, the only thing green nowadays is the grass.
Yeah, that's true. That's very, very true.
If you got enough rain. I guarantee you absolutely that it is.
Okay, I'm going to run.
Thanks,
Bill.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
520-333-4578. Yeah, send us a request for a $1,000 donation. He was going to help us, all right. He was going to bleed us dry and then cast us into prison is what he was going to do. And So we don't have any truck with those people. They sold their soul to the devil to get where they're at. And they're liars, every one of them. How many times do they have to lie to you before you understand that? And why do we need anything from them anyway? The more we get from them, the more into socialism we fall. And that's enslavement. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill Cooper.
Yes, sir.
I'm Henry from Long Island, calling from Florida. This is about the third time I've been able to actually get you on the radio.
Oh, well, good.
Question.
Yes, sir.
The book that you were given, Who Are You Really? Has that done you any benefit? Different outlook or put things together any better?
Haven't had a chance to read it.
You're kidding.
No, you have no idea.
It's 2 years.
You have no idea how busy we are. You have no idea how many books we get. You have no idea how many cassette tapes people send us to listen to. You have no idea how much mail we get every day.
Well, I thought when I handed you it outside the house that before you got to the house you'd have it read.
No, I read some portions of it, but I did not read the whole book. You know, I could tell you that I did, but I can't do that. I didn't. That's the truth.
Well, but those last several pages give you a test, and it gives you a perspective of what the book is about, and it's relative to energies. This fella believes that there are only seven energies in the world.
Yeah, I know.
There are three dynamics and three adaptives. And the three dynamics are the 97%. It's the 3% that actually do anything. So as a sheeple, I'm growing as an adaptive, which is the followers. And if there are no leaders, and as I say, he has worked out that there's about 3% of the population, regardless of which country. 3% of the population are the people who actually are the ones that do things. They're the doers.
Yeah, well, if he's not right on, he's at least pretty close, because my study of history and population and populations and events throughout history say about the same thing. Anywhere from one person to 5% are responsible for everything that's ever happened in the world, including feeding everybody.
Yep. Sounds like him, too. All right, I wish you luck on taking it, see if you can get by that thing. It's fast reading, and
I'll eventually get to it. I'm a bibliophile. I love books, and I have a tremendous library, and eventually I read everything that comes in my hands. It just takes a while to do it.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much, Bill Cooper.
You're welcome.
Love you. Love you lots.
Thanks for calling.
I know.
I appreciate that.
I know.
520-333-4578 is the number. Gee, I'm getting some good calls tonight. And you know, I'm sorry I didn't read the book that you gave me. I remember when you gave it to me, and you just have no idea how much stuff I get to read, sent to me or given to me or handed to me by people. And what ends up happening is I sort through it and I tend to go toward the most important, or what I feel is the most important or the most pressing, or the things that I need to know more than I feel I need to know other things. And if I'm engaged in a research project, then everything that I read is in line with the research that I'm doing at that particular time. But eventually I get around to everything, unless it's just completely off the wall, ridiculous stuff. And I get a lot of that too. Get a lot of racist stuff that I just absolutely, you know, once I discover what it really is and what it means and what the gist of the thing is, goes right in the trash can. I've been alive too long. I've known too many people. And racism is a plague upon the human race. And the quicker we cure that disease, the better off we're going to be. The real people who pull the strings love for us to get involved in these stupid confrontations over things that don't mean anything at all. They love it when some group thinks that they're the master race. And folks, I know they want you to think that it's always the white guy that thinks that, and it's not true. Not true. Not true at all. In fact, if you get in real tight with Louis Farrakhan's bunch, they believe they are. If you've ever been to Japan and you actually learn how the Japanese culture works and what they think about themselves, they think they are. Have you ever really gone in to a Jewish ghetto? Self-inflicted, not poor. Most of those people are pretty well-to-do. And get to know them really well. They think they are. And they're all full of crap, all of them. Read the words in red in the Bible. Whosoever believeth in me shall have everlasting life. Not whomsoever is Jewish that believeth in me. Not whomsoever is black that believeth in me. Not whomsoever is white that believeth in me. Not whomsoever is Japanese that believeth in me. But whomsoever believeth in me shall have everlasting life. Christianity gets a bad rap because most Christians are not Christians and are not teaching Christianity. They don't even know the meaning of the word. Did anybody go to the Phoenix Y2K Summit and Town Hall meeting? If you did, don't be afraid. Call in. We need to know what went on there. What happened? What was the gist of the whole thing? How did they make their money on this thing? I know that's what it was about. I know. This wasn't a freebie to make you all feel good and help you out with Y2K. This was a money maker. 520-333-4578. Call me. Tell me what you think about all of this. If you dare. Oh my goodness. Oh, I feel so good.
I see trees of green.
Oh, yes, I do.
Red roses, too.
Red roses sprouting everywhere.
I see them bloom.
Oh, they're blooming.
For me and you.
Oh.
And I think to myself.
For me? Really, Louis? For me?
What a wonderful world.
Yeah, it was, until all you clowns started fooling with it.
I see skies. Blue.
Only in Arizona, folks.
No one else. The bright, blessed day. Dark, sacred night.
Yes.
And I think to myself.
Don't try it with pressure, though.
What a wonderful world.
Yes, it was. Well, everybody tried to engineer it. It was great.
The colors of the rainbow.
Rainbow.
So pretty.
Always got to have a rainbow in this new world order. Did you notice that?
People going by. I see friends shaking hands. Saying how they do. They're really saying I love you.
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves everybody. Even people they don't know. Just kissing, hugging, and all that phony crap.
Much more than I ever knew, and I think to myself,
what a wonderful world. I love Louis Armstrong when he plays his trumpet.
I think to myself,
Louis, I've been all over this world, and it is not as wonderful as you seem to think it is. There are places, oh yes, there are places, like right up here on this mountaintop. But, you know, I can take you to some places in the world that are not so wonderful. Not so wonderful. And some of those places are right here in the United States of America. How many of you have been to New York City? You know, it's the places in New York City you better not walk. Better not walk. I don't care what color you are. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what you're carrying. You better not walk there. Some places in Los Angeles, too. Doesn't matter who you are, what color you are. Doesn't matter anything. You better not go there. Better not. Amazing. 520-333-4578 is the number. Amazes me that sometimes the phones ring off the wall, and other times everybody's silent. I've scared you to death. Scared you. You're afraid to open your mouth now, aren't you? Every once in a while I have that effect on people because I tell you the truth. I don't mince words. I throw it right in your face. And so, scares you. Scares you half out of your mind. And I don't really blame you, really. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Dan from Indiana. I apologize for calling again. But the reason
that's okay, Dan. Nobody else is calling. They're all scared to death.
Yeah, that's why I called.
I scared them.
The book that the guy from Florida was talking about, was that written by Gary Null?
I don't remember, to tell you the truth.
I think that's what
he said. It's 2 years ago that he gave it to me, and it's in the library.
Well, Gary Null's an interesting guy. And as a matter of fact, I never would have heard you if it hadn't been for him. He's, you know, what would be described as a health nut. And he was into vitamins and minerals and kind of went into belief systems and things that you could do to, you know, get yourself better. He's a guy that runs, you know, like, you know, 20 or 30 marathons and all these other things a year as opposed to just like two or three a year.
Uh-huh.
I used to run with him in a running club. I've been to his apartment in New York City and one of his farms in upstate New York. But graduating from being into purely health and vitamins and minerals, he got into all these ways of thinking and whatnot. And he had Dr. John Coleman on his show. And from hearing Dr. John Coleman, I had sent for one of his books and went to a lecture when he appeared in New York City. And he's really the beginning of my discovering shortwave radio on people like you. But Gary Null is definitely an interesting person and a really extraordinary person. So the particular book, I'm familiar with him talking about it, but I haven't read it myself. You might want to look into it, though. He is an interesting fellow.
You know, I have a philosophy. I think that inside, everybody knows what's right and what's wrong. And if everybody knows what's right and what's wrong, you don't need to always be running around discovering yourself or how to live or any of that kind of stuff. What you have to do is do what is right and don't do what is wrong. What do you think about that?
I know instinctively what is wrong. I can personally tell you. I remember like it was just the first time I ever stole. I was probably about 5 years old, and there were some kids that had like a Kool-Aid stand in front of the house that I lived in.
Uh-huh.
And I asked my mother, you know, for a nickel or a dime to buy some, and she said no. And so I walked away. She was a waitress, and she would make a lot of tips and mainly change and have it on the ironing board to count it. And I walked away from her, and I looked on the ironing board, and I saw this huge pile of change. And looked around, no one was there. And so, you know, I took a dime, went downstairs and got some Kool-Aid. Now, you know, this is easily 40 years ago, and I've never forgotten it. I instinctively knew that it was the first time I had stolen, and I knew then, I was only 4 or 5, I knew it was wrong.
Yeah.
And I remember that. Like it was yesterday. think you're absolutely right.
Well, that's, you know, I may be wrong, but that's what I believe. I believe that everybody knows what's right and wrong.
Yeah, well, I'm agreeing with you here. Like I said, even at that young age, when I made that first conscious decision to steal something, I knew it was wrong.
Yeah.
And it stayed with me forever, and I've never forgotten it. And I don't feel good or bad about it. I'm just glad that it's there, that I had that realization. And, you know, while not perfect for the most part of my life, I tend towards the better decisions. But where I have made wrong decisions, I've been 100% aware of it. There's no doubt of that.
Well, good for you. I think most people are. And I think the whole deal with blaming stuff on the devil, that's just an excuse where you don't have to be responsible, or we don't have to be responsible for what we did. I don't think there's a devil sitting on anybody's shoulder whispering in their ear. I don't think there's a devil sitting up there on a cloud somewhere causing havoc down here on earth. I think the only devil there ever was or ever will be is in the heart of man. And every day we fight that devil. We fight temptation. We fight lust. We fight all kinds of stuff. You know, everybody ridiculed Jimmy Carter when he said he had lusted in his heart after women. And all he did was tell the truth that so many other people are so hypocritical they couldn't tell that truth. But I don't know any man who hasn't at some time in his life seen a beautiful woman and really felt that urge to jump her, you know what I mean?
But
Jimmy Carter was honest, and everybody criticized him, and that's hypocrisy. They knew. But see, it made them feel better to pretend that they never have those feelings and make fun of Jimmy Carter when he said that. Now, I'm not for Jimmy Carter's politics or anything, but I'm for honesty no matter where it comes from.
Well, I agree with you as far as personal responsibility, you know, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but personally, even though it's an oversimplification, that picture in cartoons that we grew up with, and the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other,
yeah,
whispering suggestions. I actually believe in a spiritual sense that it's true, that there are entities that whisper influences. Now, pushing that aside, it's still up to me or you or whoever to give in to that temptation or to do the right thing.
Whenever you had a temptation, did you hear somebody whispering in your ear? No, just answer the question. Did you hear somebody whispering in your ear?
No, I perceived it as my own thought, my own desire.
Why were you tempted?
Well,
even if you knew it was wrong, why were you tempted? The answer is really simple.
Well, because it was something that I wanted or didn't want.
It would have felt good to do it even if it was wrong, right?
Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'm not going to quibble about it. I'm just saying, personally, I disagree with you on the idea that there's no devil or fallen angels. Like I said,
well, I didn't say there wasn't any.
You know,
I said it's in man's heart.
Well, I'm just saying I believe that there can be influences out there. But ultimately, whether there's influences like I believe or not influences as you believe, ultimately, it's up to me. What's the idea is in my mind?
Well, wait a minute. I never said there weren't influences. There's tons of influences on everybody every day. It's how we react to those influences that determine whether we're going to do bad or good. But the temptation, the fight with the devil, whether we go with angels or devil, that all happens within us.
Yeah.
The battle rages in our heart. It's not out there on a cloud somewhere. It's not sitting on our shoulder. There's nothing whispering in our ear. It's in us. That battle takes place inside of each and every human being.
I don't disagree with that at all.
So, you know, we're not apart on this at all. You're just reading into what I said something that I didn't say.
Yeah, well, there's obviously all sorts of man-made influences, whether it's, advertising or just creating desire by showing what you can have or, you know, going a little deeper into subliminal advertising or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely correct. That's true.
All right, well, I'll see if you can get somebody else before it comes in. I apologize for calling again. But
oh, no, that's okay. When nobody's calling, you can call as many times as you want. I don't care. It's fine with me. This is not the Rush Limbaugh show. I don't have a line for first-time callers or old-time callers or next-time callers or Rocky Mountain line, East Coast line, all that kind of baloney. I don't have a foreign line. I just got one line, and that's it.
All right, well I'll stay on. If somebody else calls, just say goodbye. I got your Zapruder video, and while I tried it, it's really hard to maintain concentration on something, you know, that is, you know, goes over and over, not to mention slow. And I actually wish I had had a copy that you used to have where you know, you would, you know, say what was going on, and people had complained that you were influencing.
Yeah, that's why I stopped doing it. They say, well, you told them that. That's why they saw it. That's why they believe it. You told them that was in Dealey Plaza. You know, so now I don't do that. I just, it doesn't have any narration. It's
right. Well, I haven't given up. You know, I will look at it more times.
And the reason that it's slow, you see, this tape was really made for researchers, people who really want to study what happened on that day, not somebody who just wants to see what they heard me say on the radio or something like that.
I understand that. I'm just saying, at a first glance, it's not like, oh, yeah, there it is. Oh, yeah, there's that. And, you know, and I won't give up. I'll keep looking at it and see what I come up with, okay?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah. Yeah, it took me years to figure all that stuff out. And to interpret the symbology and really understand what Dealey Plaza represented took me about 25 years. So don't feel bad if you can't figure it out in a couple of days watching a film. It's a little more complicated than that.
Hey, well, I thank you for the film, Bill, and I'll let you go now, okay?
You're welcome. Thanks a lot for calling. 520-333-4578. We've got one time for one more call, if somebody calls real quickly. And if they don't, then we'll do the old sayonara bit. You know what sayonara means? It means adios, amigos. You know what that means? It means go with God, my friends. I learned that watching Zorro and the Cisco Kid when I was a little boy. See, didn't think you could learn things doing those, but by golly, I did. Well, let me see here. I think we'll go out with, what are we going to go out with? I didn't put anything up here to go out with, so I got to find something to go out with. Anyway, it's that time, folks. Nobody called, so we're going to hang it up. It's the end of the last hour. And if I can find some, here's a good one. Here's a good one. Here's a real good one. I think you'll all like this one. I like this one. This is, let me see. I think that's it. Let me see here. Oh, yeah, that's it. That's the one. Here's the one, folks. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you.
My thrill, oh, to be here on Blueberry Hill.
Warm up the Chevy, Annie. Let's drive down to the end of the road.
I found you. The moon could dim on Blueberry Hill. My dream came true. The wind in the willow blades, love's sweet melody. But all of the vows you made were never to be. Yeah.
You don't think Fats was worried about Y2K, do you?
I don't think so.
I don't know any teenagers that are worried about Y2K, and it doesn't matter what stops running. They won't.
I've neither wealth nor power, but now that you've said you're mine, wherever.